chapter 15. This is the fourth in a series of messages. I don't know how many we're going to have on this subject. We began the first Sunday of this year with the verse of Scripture in the book of Isaiah 45:3, where God says, "I will give unto thee treasures of darkness." And I've been trying to build some messages around that particular phrase, the treasures of darkness. Very strange. I talked to some preachers about the message that God's giving, and they said, "Well, that's very, very different." And I know it is, but I'm glad that God has treasures for us. Now, they're not darkness to us. Thank God we're in the light, as He is the light. We find in the book of Psalms this morning in our Sunday school lesson, we found that David said he wanted to walk in the light of the living. And these things have been shed into a light upon them in our heart. But to the world, these things that we hold as dear and precious, they are dark to them. They don't understand that. We notice the first message was we have treasures in Him. Thank God everything surrounds and revolves around the Lord Jesus Christ. Treasures in Him. Then we had treasures in the house of God. We go from being saved to being born again and then into the house of God. And that's the first step of every believer, I believe, and to be obedient unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that when we find that we are to be saved and we've come to know Christ, the first thing we are to do is to follow the Lord and become a part of the family of God in a particular location, and that's the house of God. Now, we're in the family of God collectively together as being saved, but God, the Lord Jesus Christ, established His church, and we're to come in a particular location to serve the Lord and be a part of the house of God. We have treasures in this house. And then last Sunday, we noted that when a person is saved and they live their life, they're going to die and they're going to go to heaven. Thank God we have treasures in heaven. We have treasures in the Lord and treasures in heaven. And many of them are already on the other side. One day we'll meet them. But there are treasures in heaven and things that we will possess as a child of God, as a Christian. Now in the book of Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 1, I want us to begin reading, and the Bible says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pulleth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent." Verse number 6 is our text verse. It says, "In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble." Let's read verse number 6 again. It says, "In the house of the righteous is much treasure." But it gives you a comparison here. It says, "In the revenues of the wicked is trouble." I want us to think this morning just for a little while on the subject of treasures in the home, the house of the righteous. Treasures in the home. Oh, there's not a more wonderful word than to think about that word of home. How that home ought to be a little part of heaven here upon this earth. How that home ought to be the collection of folks coming together, man and wife, husband and wife, come together and having a home built upon the things of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. And we find that home is a place where we are to be, and that's where we are literally ourselves. Now, people will see us one way this morning. We've come gathered into this building, and folks will look upon us, and they'll see us one particular way. Then when we go out into the world, we go to our job, folks will see us in another different way, in a different light. But if we're right with God, everything ought to still come back to the things and the grace of God in our lives. But in our home is where our children and our mates see us exactly for who we are. We don't put on any disguise there. We don't put on any sham there. Home is where we are literally ourselves. We can disguise ourselves this morning. We can put on the facade of being righteous and being holy. But in the home, that comes through differently if it's not true, if it is a mockery in our life. And when we're out in the world, we can make people think we're something when we're not anything. But at home, people know us for who we are and exactly what we are. And so I want us to think this morning upon this subject, treasures in the home. Notice here, it says the house of the righteous, in the house of the righteous is much treasure. Thank God He's given us treasures, and it is in the house of the righteous. In the Word of God, you can find every type of home in the Bible. You'll look at the life of Cain, and you'll find a man that lost his home. He was dispersed. He was taken away, and he was away from his own family. You'll find in Abraham, you'll find a man that left his home. God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he went out not knowing where he was going, but yet he followed God, and he went out from there. Then you'll find in the life of Hosea, you'll find a man that loved his home, and in his home life was not as it should be. You ought to read the book of Hosea and find the love that he had for his wife, even though she was an adulterous wife, even though she went away from him, she was away from God. And it pictures to us what Israel did under the God of heaven. But Hosea loved his home, and he did everything that he could to make sure that it was right. Then in the New Testament, you'll find the prodigal son. And here's a man that longed for his home. He got away from his father. He got away from his home. And when he got down into the pigsty, when he got down in the pig pen, there he said, "My father has many hired servants, and they are living better than I'm living. And I'm going to arise, and I'll go back to my father's house." There he longed for a home that he'd left. And folks, we better be careful, because our homes are fragile today. The devil, the wicked one, the enemy, he's there, and he's waiting to destroy the home that is that God has given to you, and you better found it upon the Word of God. I say to you this morning, you teenagers, you boys and girls, you think everything's just fun and games. Folks, it's not that way. You better realize that what you're doing and what you're building and what you will be is supposed to be an eternal, lasting thing upon this earth. And you better make sure that you get the mate that God has for you, or you're going to live a life of misery. You're going to live a life of pain and trouble. And you better be sure that it's in the will of God. I know as teenagers you think everything's just what I can do and how much fun I can have, and you go fall in love with some old boy that don't love God, or you go fall in love with some girl that could care less about God, and then you get married, and then your home is not what it ought to be because God's not in that home. The Bible tells us and instructs us that we are to not be unequally yoked together. We're to have a child of God is to marry a child of God. Don't look at me strangely. That's what the book says. That's what the Bible says. And we better build our lives upon the principles of the Word of God. Because if we don't, our homes will not be what they ought to be. And therefore, when our homes are not as they ought to be, the house of God will not be what it's supposed to be. This church, Grace Baptist Church this morning, we are made up of individual people, yes. But we are made up entirely and most prominently of different homes that have come together to this place. And you let a home be destroyed. You let a household go apart. You let that happen. That not only weakens you, but it weakens the house of God. And the devil knows that if he can get you, and then he's got to inroad to the house of God. And so, folks, we better be careful. We better realize that we have treasures in our home. Now, notice here what the Bible declares unto us of these things. Notice the contrast. Here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verse number 6. In the house of the righteous is much treasure. Now, it's not talking about the house of God. It's talking about the house of the righteous. It's talking about the homes of those that are righteous in the sight of God. I know folks, I know people, I know some of them that's my age that used to serve God and love God, and you know what happened? They got hooked up with the wrong crowd. I know one I can call to my mind, and they just didn't serve God. They just didn't follow the will of God. And they've been married three or four times. They're not doing anything for God. You know why? Because they took that treasure and didn't realize how precious it was. And now it's gone forever. What you lose in this way, you cannot regain that. So we better be careful. Young people, you better listen, because it's important who you get in contact with. It's important because you can't help from falling in love with someone when you're with them all the time. That will happen. That's natural. But I'm telling you one thing. God has somebody for you. God has the right person for you. God has the right woman. God has the right man. God has the right time. God has it right for you if you will but listen to Him. But if you refuse the Word of God, if you refuse the instruction of God, then your home that ought to be heaven on earth will be nothing more than hell upon earth. And you know it's true. It's right. That's what the Word of God teaches us and tells us. And you better take that instruction. The Bible says here that the treasure of the righteous, that home, that place that God has given to us. It says here that the house of the righteous is much treasure. But he contrasts it there. It says, but the revenues of the wicked is trouble. While one side is treasure, on the other side is revenues. Notice the different wording there? Wonder why the wicked don't have treasures. They don't know what treasure is all about. They don't know what it means to have a real treasure. Oh, they may have their goods, they may have their fortunes, but they don't know what treasure is. And I want us to think this morning about the treasure that's in our homes. The Song of Solomon, we find that we have the right kind of relationship between husband and wife. Solomon chapter number 6, verse number 3 says, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. That's the right relationship that ought to be. That you're not your own now. You've become one. You've become a family. You have a home. You're building a home. And Solomon says, my beloved is mine, and I am my beloved's. There's one. It's a two-way street, and both of you belong to each other, not to somebody else. Now the Bible declares unto us that treasure is in the house, not only the house of God, but treasures in the home of the righteous person, the believer. There's a treasure there that cannot be anywhere else. It's in the home. We find here in Proverbs chapter number 15 that there's much treasure in the house of the righteous, but the revenues of wicked is trouble. One place there's treasure, on the other side there's trouble. One place there's joy, the other side there's sorrow. One place there's laughter, another place there's crying. Why? Because it all surrounds whether or not you're righteous or not. Whether or not you've been born again by the Spirit of God. Treasure is something that ought to be guarded. You better guard that treasure. Or if you go out and buy a $10,000 diamond ring, you're going to guard that. But I tell you what, there's much more treasure in your home than it is anywhere else. Much more treasure there in the home than there is in this world. Our earthly home is supposed to be one and should be one of the greatest treasures that God has given unto us. And we better guard that as a treasure, because the wicked one, Satan, he's out to destroy that. And he has in America today. Over 50% of every marriage ends up in divorce. Satan's doing his job well. Satan's doing his work well, and many of those, and so many of those are people that have been saved, that have been born again, and the wicked one comes in and destroys and tears down and robs that treasure out of the home. Oh, may God help us to realize that we are to be careful and to guard those things that God has given unto us. Look in Proverbs chapter number 23. We're talking about treasures. We're talking about revenues. We're talking about the righteous. We're talking about the wicked. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 4 says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thy own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. A person can have a multitude of riches upon this earth, and tomorrow it'll be gone. A man or a woman, a family, can have multitudes of goods and multitudes of dollars and don't have to have any worry about things. And tomorrow something can happen and it'll fly away like an eagle and you're left without it. But what about the real treasure? Man or a woman, a household that just builds upon the things of this world, they may be gone tomorrow. But if you build your life upon the Lord Jesus Christ and build your home upon God, build your life where it ought to be, then those things, then monetary things may go. But thank God you have the treasure that God has given you in a Christian home, in the house that God has given to you. Now don't get me wrong, God doesn't care how much goods we bring and how much we possess, as long as those things don't possess us. There's the problem. There's where we better learn the difference. God doesn't, He doesn't want us to be paupers. He doesn't desire that we be on skid row. God doesn't care how much we have. And thank God in America a man can go, or a woman can go, and they can make a living and they can do good. And we have every benefit of freedom to be able to do that in America. God doesn't mind that, but God does mind when our possessions possess us. Amen. When they possess us, then we're in the wrong place and something's going to happen wrong. I've known some people, and thank God there are some folks that God has abundantly blessed them and abundantly given unto them. And you know why God still continues to do that? Because those things do not possess them. Those things have not taken over their life. Those things haven't eat at them as a canker does. Those things have not eat at them, and they still just like they were, and still just like what they ought to be. And God continues to bless them. They haven't let their riches possess them. Folks, we better be careful. The Bible says there, where we read there, labor not to be rich, cease from thy own wisdom, and said, because those things will fly away Just by the way, just because we don't have monetary things doesn't necessarily always mean that we don't have treasures also. You see, we look at things through human eyes and through our human minds, and we think of success by what we can do. We think of success as how high up the ladder we can go. We think of success as how much we can do. People think of success in the church by how many you have on Sunday, or how much your offering is, or how much that. But folks, that's not what success is all about. Success is whether or not we're in the will of God, and God using us, and God blessing us, and God helping us to go out and do more for Him. And if we'll do that, God will bless us, and God will gift us more, and God will do more for us. Treasures in the home. Treasures in the place that God has given unto us. Now, I know I'm talking to some this morning that your homes have been destroyed in days gone by. I know that, but folks, I'm trying to help these this morning that the homes will not be destroyed. Oh, may God help us, and may God show us the reality and the knowledge of knowing that Jesus Christ wants us to build our lives and build our homes upon the blessed Word of God. And if we'll do that, and if we'll be right, and if we'll take these principles that God gives us in the Word, things will work right. God help us to salvage what we've got and then bless Him for what He's given to us and remade us. I realize and I know that, but folks, we need to understand we better build a home. We better build our life upon biblical principles. God's never left man to make his own government. God laid down the form of government. God's never left our man to his own self to do anything he wanted to do by himself. Doing that which is right in his own eyes always led to destruction and disaster. And it'll do that in your home if it's left itself. But God has given us some treasures in the home that we ought to notice today, and some principles that God has for us. He's never left us to our own in human life, in government, in the house of God. You know what's wrong in so many churches this morning? They're doing what they want to do, and they could care less about what God says. All across our country today, there's church after church after church, and I'm talking about used to be fundamental and are fundamental, but they're literally being torn asunder because they will not go by the Word of God, by the message that God gives them in the Word, how to have the right kind of church. And you better have what God says, how to have the right kind of home. Now, if you would, I want us to think about, first of all, you better have a companion that's in accordance to biblical principles. Done touched on that just a little bit. But you better have a companion that is what thus saith the Lord. You go out and just get any old thing that comes along, you're going to get just any old thing that comes along. It's going to happen. Can't help it. It will come to pass. And we better realize that the companion that we have not ought to be just chosen by us, but we ought to ask God for guidance. I'm talking about saved people now. If you're saved, you ought to ask God for guidance and for direction. And when God gives you that, and it doesn't matter how good you think that gal looks or how good you think that boy looks, if that's not the right one for you, you better get rid of them, because it will not work. You know why homes are being destroyed? Why 50% of them going out in the divorce court is because nobody prays about anything anymore. Nobody seeks the face of God about it anymore. We just go do what we want to do. Now, the Bible gives us instructions in the Word of God of how we to do. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives. And then that word even is there. You ought to underline that. Husband, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, I'm going to talk to husbands a while. I don't have to say much. Yeah, I'll pat him because I'm going to get you in a minute. Embarrass you to death. Husbands, love your wives. There ought to be a sacrificial love from the man to the wife and to the children. We are not our own anymore. Thank God, as a child of God, we've been bought with a price. And therefore, when the Bible tells us that a man and woman come together and form a home, we're not our own anymore. And husbands, we ought to love our wives as Christ hath loved the church. Now, I wonder if Christ would do to us what we do to our wives. Well, what happened? Why, do the same thing about what's going on in the home today. About half of them would go out of existence. Husbands, love your wives. Now, I know we live in a society, and every man thinks he ought to be king of and lord of the hill. I mean, he's king of all of it, but the Bible says we're to love. And that's not this old, silly, mushy lust that the world has. It's a sacrificial love that you give up everything you've got for your home, for your wife, for your children. You let somebody come into your home and try to harm your children or your wife, if you're the right kind of man, you're going to take up for your house. You're going to take up for your family. You're going to, if need be, you'll fight and die for them. The Bible says that we're to have a sacrificial love for the wife and for the family. Oh, what love, what matchless love that Jesus showed for me. Oh, thank God. Folks, men, this morning we're to love our families, we're to love our wives, we're to love our children as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And I found this, boy, it just goes right along with it. Oh, what love, what matchless love that Jesus showed for me. When on the cross he gave his life that he might purchase me. For you, for me, and countless ones, they pierced his blessed side. The fountains opened wide that day, the day he chose his bride. Oh, what love, what matchless love he now reveals in me. For every time I hear his word, I know love's keeping me. A love that shatters all my doubt and casts away my fears. A love that kept us safe thus far and will through endless years. There is the formation of how Jesus loved his church, gave himself for it. And then we are to have that same kind of sacrificial love that we would give ourselves. Not raise all kind of devilment and have troubles and discouragements come and just tear up everything just because we're the head of the house. I know some heads ought to be chopped off. I know some men don't have enough sense to run a home. You know why? They haven't got in this book. They have not sensed out what God said. If you take biblical principles, it'll work. It will work. I have the promise of God in that. I know it will. Not only should we have that sacrificial love for the wife and for the family, but also have that submitting love for the husband. Now, George, pat her on the back. There you go. We have that submitting love for the husband. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, turn there if you would with me. We'll read a few verses here. In Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Now, a lot of folks don't like that verse, but still it's a book. Can't change what it says. No need to argue with the preacher because he's just reading what the book says. Now, the Bible says there, verse number 22, verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another. First of all, it's got to be one to another. Now, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto what? The Lord. How's the husband supposed to love the wife? As the Lord loved the church. How's the wife supposed to love the husband? As unto the Lord. That's why 50-60% of every person that goes down to a preacher or to a justice of the peace and they say I will or I do whatever they say in that particular time, and that's why 50-60% of them are ending up and saying I won't, I never will, is because they do not submit themselves to the principle of the Word of God that we love each other as Christ loved us, and we love because He first loved us. That's why it's not working. The Bible says here that we're to submit yourselves unto your own husbands. That's own, O-W-N. Nobody else's but your own. That take care of the problems of man with woman that's not his and woman with man that's not her. That take care of that if you go by the Word of God, the principles of the Word of God, your own husband. Right. And turns around your own wife. Says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Wonder why the church is often so many times mentioned when comparing and when talking about the home that we have. Wonder why? Well, folks, because one day there's going to be a bride in heaven. There will be a marriage in heaven. And he says that our homes, we're to submit ourselves one to another. And the husband is the head of the wife. Now, some men read that, and that's as far as they read. Some men read that and say, all right, woman, I'm ahead of you. You're going to do what I say. I don't care what it is. You're going to do it. No wonder she takes a 2x4. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe the husband's the head of the home. But you better qualify those principles that God gives us. What does it say there? As Christ is the head of the church. That means, men, we ought to have the same responsibility that Christ had. We ought to have some of the same compassions that Christ had. We ought to have some of the same ideas. Well, be as the Lord. As Christ is the head of this church, then we ought to be the head of our home. As Christ directs us, we ought to have the direction of God, how to guide and how to guard, how to lead our home. You know why some men can't guide their home? Because they don't know what the book says. They don't know what the Bible says. They're so interested in everything else that the world has. They're so interested in what the world says. They're so interested in the society and what they say the home is. We've got as the stomach turns and the world turns and all that other junk turning, and nobody knows what the real house of God is to be. Nobody knows what the home ought to be. And we've left biblical principle, and therefore America is being defeated from within, and the homes are being destroyed. Because nobody knows the book. Christians, I'm talking about. Lost people don't know it anyway. They couldn't understand if they had it. But we, as the people of God, as the children of God, we ought to know what this Bible says. And when we make a mistake and falter and fail, we ought to run back to our head and say, "Oh, God, forgive me. God, help me not to do that again." We're to have a submission for the husband. We're how to, and for the wife. They're to be together. They're to be together in name. What was the first man and woman's name? Everybody in here, I'll meet you, said Adam and Eve. No, it's man and woman. They were not called, Eve was not called Eve until after the fall. You had man, you had woman. You had Adam, you had Eve. We'd be together. That's why Sharon Roberts became Sharon Richardson. She took my name. The day I got saved, I took the name Christian. I took the name of Christ. Why? Because we're married together. I took upon the name, and I took upon also some of the natures. The Bible tells us when we get saved, we have a new nature. We have a new nature, and that nature is of the Lord. We have a nature that follows the things of heaven. We have a nature that goes and is directed by the things of the Lord. And we take on a new nature. And you know, when a man and a woman come together as husband and wife, they take on each other's natures. They sometimes, folks have lived together and been married so long that they even begin to look alike. Wonder why. Boy, I've seen some. Boy, I hope that don't happen to some of us. But we take on each other's name. We take the man's name. We take upon each other's nature. Why? Because we have become as one. We are one in Christ, in Him. The Bible says in the Song of Solomon, chapter number 1, verse number 17, the Bible says, "The beams of our house are cedar." The beams of our house, talking about the house now, the beams of our house are cedar. Now, cedar, if you've ever done any study in the Word of God, you'll know that cedar in the Word of God is an eternal wood. It represents Christ. And I tell you what, the beams of your home better be cedar. They better be eternal. They better be representing Christ. Those beams will be tried sometimes. Well, I mean, this world's full of troubles. And the beams will be tried. But oh, thank God, we have those things that are eternal, that are everlasting. The battles are going to come. Now you put her down. Young people, teenagers, you haven't got married yet. You all just got married. You already know battles will come. That tests the beams. But if they're of cedar, the battles will pass, and the joys of the Lord will be there. Not only will there be battles, but there's everyday problems. Every day. There's problems that come to your home every day. You better know where your beams are. You better be in the Lord. Then you have, every once in a while, boy, you just have anger come. Some of you smiling. You know what I'm talking about. You just get angry. That'll test your beams. That'll test the cedar. That'll test the things. But Solomon said, "My house, the beams are made of cedar." I wonder this morning, is your house, the beams made of cedar, will they last? Will they endure the hardness? Sometimes the anger will come. Sometimes the everyday problems will be there. Money problems will arise. Sicknesses will arise. All of those things will come and test you. But if they're built upon the Lord, it will last. It will last. Not only is there a companion in Bible principles, but secondly, there are children that are believers' privileges. All the children of the Lord. If you would turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalm number 127. "Except the Lord build the house." Now I know many times we use that at the church. And I want you to know it's not just necessarily means the church. We're going to read the entire passage here. Psalm 127 verse 1. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain." It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. What's he talking about there? He's not talking about the house of God. Except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build the home. They that labor, labor in vain. It'll not last unless God is in his right place. And then the children that God gives you is an heritage of the Lord. It is a vain thing, the Bible says here, to rise early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. It's a vain thing to do than think that everything is dependent upon what you can do. It's a vain thing to think that you've got to supply everything, every little detail. You know why a lot of homes are in trouble this morning? It's nothing more than money problems. And they set up, or they get up early. They go to bed late. The sorrows on every hand because they have not been able to manage what God has given them to go out and have their joys and their fun. Most people today that get married, that first get married, they're nothing more than children that want to go out and have a good time together. Then the money problems come and they don't know what to do. And they fuss and they fight and they fume and all those things come and they just part. Why? Because they're not built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. If you marry just because of lust, you're going to have trouble. Teenagers, if that's all you're interested in, is that sexual appeal that comes, that's natural. If that's all you're interested in, you're going to have trouble in your life. It will not last. We need to get in our minds what the Bible teaches is lust and what is love, and they're not the same. They're not the same. The Bible says that we have an heritage, and our children are a heritage. We can see a lot of things in our children that come to us. I find there's some categories in the Word of God concerning children. I find that they bring honor to the Lord. Samuel, Hannah prayed. And she prayed and God gave her a child and Samuel grew up and he was in the house of God as a servant in that house. Lord, what a blessed thing. Here you have a child that honors the Lord. Then I find that there are blessings of the home of their parents. There are those children that are obedient to mom and dad. Now, by the way, it doesn't matter what year we live in, whether it be 1990 or whether it be 1840, you ought to go by what your mom and dad says. The Bible says to obey your parents. This thing, I've got my rights, you ought to kick that out your window. If you're saved, the only rights you have this morning is found in the Lord. If you're a born-again child of God, a man and woman, a husband, a wife, if you're born again, you better get in this book and know how to get your children to understand and to have principles of their own, not just because you force it down their throat. We can do that, but they need to have some of their own convictions. My child and your children cannot live on what we believe. They've got to get it for themselves in this book. As long as they're under our house, I believe I'll teach and train them, put our convictions on them, but it's not just good enough to say, do it because I said so. Why don't you show them sometime why it's right? Why don't you show them sometime why it's wrong? Why don't you show them sometime by example how they ought to do and how they ought to live? Children are a heritage. We better treat that heritage right. Not only will we lose our homes, we'll lose our children. There are those that are bringing honor to the Lord. There are those children that bring blessings to the home. And then there are those children that break the hearts of their parents. There are those children that literally break and pull the hearts of their parents out. I think of David. He said, Absalom, my son Absalom. You know what was going on? The son of David was ripping literally his heart out from his body because he was rebellious against God. You may go through it, I may go through it. There are those children that'll wring our hearts. It's been said that children, when they're little, they walk on their toes. And then when they grow, they walk on their hearts. Now, I'm not saying that every family that loses their children is wrong, because I've known some good families that tried to have their children raised and tried to do right, and their children go wrong. I don't understand all of that. I'll learn it in heaven, I guess. But I do know one thing. I've got a lot better chance for biblical principles than I do without them. I've got a lot better chance using this book, having my heart right, having my attitude right, having my home right, than I do living like hell. I got a lot better chance raising my children right, raising Amy right, you raising your children right, if they see something in me. Not just because I tell them, but may they see it in me. I know some folks today that in the next 4 years, they're going to cry and they're going to weep because their children have literally torn their hearts out. I know some preachers that literally almost disintegrate because of what their children are going to do. And may God help us not to just see it in others, but may we see it in our own. We better look in our home. One preacher, I forgot who it was, the days gone by, he said, "I've been so busy saving the world, I've lost my family." What a shame that is. God gave us first a home. God's given us a church, secondly. Those are two institutions that God has given to the people of the Lord. If you're going to have a church, you better guard the home. Take care of those children God's given you. I know some folks that just in a little while are going to be crying. They're going to be weeping because they're so busy doing everything for everybody else or for self. If God's given us a home, folks, we better take care of it. Because it doesn't just work. It doesn't just last. It's not something that just set in motion and then it happens. It's something we've got to work at. And I know some folks, I know some preachers. I had one ask me not long ago, "Do you know what's wrong? Do you think you could talk? I don't need to talk to the kids." Not the kids' fault. But I'm afraid the parents won't listen. Better take care of what God's given us, folks. Our homes. How Adam and Eve must have grieved when that first child that was born upon this human earth, this human race. How they must have grieved when Cain said, "My punishment is more than I can bear." Why, Eve said, "The Lord has given me a man child." You know what Eve thought when Cain was born? That she had the Redeemer. Because the Lord had promised that He'd send by the seed of a woman, He'd send a man. She has that little baby and she calls him Cain. He grows, and then they have Abel. And they grow and they teach them what God had told them. And she said, "Oh, my firstborn, he's the one God promised." And how her heart and how Adam's heart must have been torn out of their bodies, literally, because God said, "You're going to be a vagabond." Folks, if we're not careful, our children will be nothing more than vagabonds. They'll be nothing more than street people. They'll be nothing more than potheads. They'll be nothing more than what the world has to offer because we have failed. We have treasures in the home. We better honor that. We better realize what God has given to us. You better work for the treasure that's in the home more than the revenue that's in the wicked. You better build your house upon the Lord. Not only do we have a companion, and I just have to list these. Not only do we have children, but you better have Christ in the home. It's not enough just to come to church. You better be in home. It's not enough to come on Sunday morning and Sunday night. You better be in home. It's not enough to come Sunday night and Wednesday night and Sunday morning and revivals, but you better be in home. Christ in the home. You have that, there'll be a conversion of that little sinner that God gives you. That little sinner. Nobody likes to be called a sinner. But that sweet little baby that you hold is a sinner. By nature. Born that way. And as he grows or she grows, he or she will choose to be a sinner. Because that's their nature. If you put Christ in your home, there'll be a conversion in your home of that little sinner. There'll be comfort in times of sorrow. And there'll be cheerfulness with the saints if you put Christ in the home. And then lastly, you better make sure that the whole household has the protection of the Lord, as they did in Exodus chapter 12, where God told Israel, said, "You'll put the blood over the doorpost and down the sides. When I see the blood, I will pass over you."
Amen.
I will pass over you. What about your home this morning? Treasures, not just in Him, not just here in the house of God, not just here or there in heaven, but here in your home. Is there treasures in your home, or are there troubles in your home? Are there treasures of the righteous? Yes. Or are there revenues of the wicked that bring trouble? You'd be surprised at how many kids literally raise themselves because mom and dad, all they're interested in is the revenues that this world has. Be surprised. Nothing can take the place of a mother, and nothing can take the place of a father. And nothing can take the place of a mother and a father together in the home. That's treasures far above rubies and diamonds, gold and silver. Treasures in the home. Do you have that covering of blood, which is for protection? We're not redeemed with corruptible things, but we're redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord. 1 Peter tells us that. What about your home this morning? Young people, what about your life? Mom, Dad, what about your life? Boys, girls, if you're rebelling against your parents, then you ought to get right with God. That's all I can say. The Bible gives instruction. But you know what? There comes a point that sometimes the homes are so bad and everything is so fake that we are the reason that they rebel. May God help us to recognize what God says about the home. Because it's a treasure, and when it's lost, it'll never be the same again. Let's stand this morning.